Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast.
That's right. No excuses ever. Don't bring your excuses in here because I'll swat them out of the studio. Get them out of my house, baby. Good morning to you. Thanks so much for tuning in to After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. The house happens to be the Quicken Loan Studios, national mortgage lender Quicken Loans. Apply simply, understand fully, mortgage confidently. You're blowing up my Twitter now. I realized that even as I called it our Twitter Tuesday question, I actually hadn't put it on Twitter. So it had been posted on our show account, and we had put a spot on our Facebook page for you to weigh in. But I never actually tweeted it myself, which maybe, seriously, it was a total oversight on my part, Kevin Harlan. Thank you for your support and your encouragement. So I have, in fact, put it on Twitter now, A-Law Radio. Now, wait a minute. I need Twitter today, Coach. Can you just until I get some more answers, what is your favorite sport to attend in person? And I'm asking because I was thinking about it in light of walking 12 hours at the U.S. Open on Saturday and how much I love going to golf tournaments because they're unique. Yes, if you want to, you can circle the concourse at a baseball game over and over and over, but you're going to see the same thing while you're circling. At a golf tournament, you have the choice. You can move around. You can choose a hole. You can choose a golfer. You can enjoy the great outdoors. That's really a part of the draw. As much as I love basketball, and I do, it's my favorite sport to play, I love being outside. If I'm a spectator, I want there to be some sunshine, a big floppy hat. And I'm good with the spending the 12 hours just soaking in the atmosphere. And so the U.S. Open was a great experience. And I'd like to know from you what your favorite sport is to attend in person. Baseball.
You cannot stand there, Mike.
Baseball is, there was a lot of that on Saturday, by the way. Every single time a player addressed the ball, there were marshals holding up signs that said no photos. And at the same exact time, oh, I don't know, a few thousand people in the galleries would hold up their phones to take photos. So the whole no photo sign wasn't super effective.
Uh-oh.
And caddies were speaking to fans, were asking them to stop moving, and were also saying, hey, come on, enough of that. In fact, shoot, I don't remember which player it was. It was one of the high-profile players whose caddy actually got on to some photographers because – and this is kind of the idea behind the no photo paddle. It's not really about the phones that people are using for pictures. It's about the photographers, the professional photographers, whose cameras are making that clicking noise incessantly. And so that's where caddies get upset. And I saw a couple of players back off shots too, because there was a loud noise or a clicking of a camera right as they were about to start their downswing. Anyway, so that's where, you know, the frustration comes from a lot of times. But golf is like that. You can get within a foot of a particular golfer. I have some pictures of Ricky Fowler who had chipped or had, had dumped his approach shot into fescue grass and hit a spectator with a ball. And so there were people lined up in this huge circle. They ended up having to move some of the people, but you could be right there. You could reach out and touch Ricky Fowler. Not that that's advisable. But
at least I kicked Ricky's butt today.
When guys are not fairway to green, there is an opportunity to get pretty close to them and to hear what they say with their caddies. And so that part is also, I think, neat and unique that you can be so close to the different athletes, for better or for worse. Sometimes it's not great because you get bonked on the head with a golf ball, but it is a risk that I think a lot of fans are willing to take. I loved it. I loved being outside, and baseball, same reason, different pace. And it's one of those where you can sit and enjoy it and not necessarily have to go anywhere for 3 hours or to even do anything. Just hang out. Soundtrack of summer. And I love college football in some of the rabid areas of the country. I'm partial to the Big 12 from my time living in Oklahoma and working in Texas and Kansas. And so I just got my indoctrination, my initiation into the world of college football from the time I spent there. And so those are three of the sports that I really enjoy in person. NFL, not so much. I actually prefer to watch it on TV. It's fun to go to a game every now and then, and I certainly wouldn't trade my Super Bowl experience from a couple of seasons ago. But I prefer seeing everything on TV as opposed to, you know, only the play as it happens and not necessarily the replays and not understanding the rules or what, you know, what's happening. No, I want to say not understanding the rules, not understanding how the rules are being applied, not getting the analysis, all of that stuff, I think enhances the NFL viewing experience and makes it better. Unless you're at the 50-yard line and you're in row 4. I actually went to one of my first NFL games ever in row 8 on the 45-yard line. That was a ticket that I bought and went to a game by myself because I wanted to get up close. That was the whole point. I had never seen John Elway play in person, and the Broncos were visiting New England, and I was at Syracuse at the time. And so I bought a ticket. I drove overnight on Saturday from upstate New York to get to Foxborough. It was pre-Gillette Stadium, but to get to Foxborough, and it was a Sunday morning, so everyone else is tailgating, and I'm sleeping in my car because I had driven overnight. But the whole point was to get as close as possible to the field so that I could see John Elway play.
A thank you to John Elway.
Thank you to John Elway. And I remember Pat Bowlen was on the sidelines, and he was wearing a fur coat. And I was right there, row 8, and I was surrounded by crazy Patriots fans, and I was... Coach Belichick wasn't there yet, but he probably wouldn't have liked the fact that I was sitting in row 8 behind the Broncos bench and cheering for Denver. But it was cool. I've never forgotten it. It was one of my first experiences of actually buying a ticket myself and going to a game. So what's your favorite sport to watch in person? Hashtag Twitter Tuesday. A-Law Radio, or on our Facebook page, After Hours with Amy Lawrence. And our phone number is 855-212-4227. That's 855-212-4227. If you heard the update at the top of the hour, well, then you know we got the ultimate mic drop by Barry Trotz. 2 weeks after winning his first Stanley Cup, he is not actually a free agent. Well, he is now, but he wasn't a free agent by virtue of his contract. That's kind of what everybody thought, but that's not accurate. We now know that he had a clause in his original contract with the Capitals that would tack on 2 more years if he won the Stanley Cup. I wonder if the Capitals actually thought that was a possibility when they wrote this contract. So in the meantime, not only have there been some extremely well-paid NHL head coaches like Joel Quenneville of the Chicago Blackhawks, who has multiple cups, Mike Babcock of the Toronto Maple Leafs. I mean, they've kind of set the standard now for head coaches in the NHL. And here's Barry Trotz, who not only has had a ton of success in the regular season with the Capitals, but now has the hardware to go along with. And it's the franchise's first ever Stanley Cup. So they finally reached the pinnacle of the sport, the top of the mountain. And he could have accepted the 2-year deal, which I heard reported was an extra $300,000. So a bump in salary of $300,000. But he felt like that wasn't quite enough. And that now hindsight was sharper. And that he deserved more than that in light of everything that's happened in the NHL in the last few years. So he and the front office did negotiate. Do you remember what Brian McClellan said after? I don't know if it was at the parade or if it was just a press conference that he did in the wake of the Capitals winning the Stanley Cup. He essentially said whatever Trotz wanted, Trotz could have. We'll give him whatever he wants to stick around because we certainly want him back. And so they did try, according to both sides. Trotz and McClellan, they tried to come to an agreement, but they just couldn't. They were too far apart. And there was one particular sticking point with McClellan and something that Trotz wasn't willing to back down from.
His representative, you know, wants to take advantage of Barry's experience and Stanley Cup win. And is trying to negotiate a deal that compensates him as one of the better coaches in the league, a top, you know, four or five coaches. So he's looking for that type of contract.
So that was one part. He wanted to be among the highest paid coaches in the league. And there was another particular number that McClellan just couldn't agree to.
Barry had a contract clause that stated if we won a Stanley Cup, his contract would be extended 2 years at an increased rate. And I think our discussions with his representative centered around that and what he was looking to accomplish through negotiation.
Okay, so that's not the soundbite. There is a specific number that McClellan points out. Let's try. Let's see if this is the one in which he points to the number that they couldn't agree to.
He resigned and we accepted the resignation. I think we came to an agreement that it wasn't going to work. And we don't want to hold him back from coaching.
Where did it go? Where's the one where he says it's 5 years? I swear I heard that earlier. Okay, that's bad. I listened to these several hours ago, and I feel as though in that time period, somehow McClellan's comments changed. Yeah, the 5 years is ultimately what McClellan said. I'm glad you got to hear from him this morning anyway, even though it wasn't quite like I planned. So, yes, there was a number in there, 5 years. Trotz wanted a five-year extension, and the new contract would kick in and would only give him 2 extra years, and the compensation wasn't quite as much as he was looking for, which I can understand. It's one thing to talk about winning a Stanley Cup, and it's entirely another to actually do it. And once you go through that process and recognize how hard it is to get there.
What's up, buds?
And knowing that Barry Trotz was a major part of that, plus the President's Trophies they've won and the time that they spent as one of the best teams in the Eastern Conference. I mean, they've had a lot of success over the last 4 years. The only thing missing was the cup. And we see this all the time with athletes. They win the hardware. Maybe it's an individual award. Maybe it's a World Series or a Super Bowl or an NBA title, and they want to get paid. So coaches, no doubt, should be in that same boat, right? This is a career achievement for Barry Trotz. Ultimate mic drop. He resigns and becomes a free agent. He bets on Barry. Barry bets on Barry. And now we'll see where he goes next. The Islanders do have a head coach vacancy. Is that going to be a job that lures Barry? Ooh, talk about a challenge. You want a challenge, coach? Here's one for you. All right, so you can find me on Twitter, A-Law Radio. Thanks so much for weighing in with your Twitter Tuesday responses. I appreciate that. And also on our Facebook page where there are pictures. I don't know, where did you find that picture, Chris? That's pretty amazing. Is it computer generated? Wait, does that say arena football? Is that the picture you put up on Facebook?
Yeah, but it's a small little detail in an otherwise very pretty picture. So I thought, you know, most people would pass by it and not really notice.
Oh, so you thought that most of our Facebook perusers would not notice that you put a picture up of arena football to go along with the question of which sport do you like to attend best in person?
It's about the big picture of the picture, the prettiness of it, not the arena footballness.
Got it. Except that I would like to point out that not even one person has said arena football. So I guess you leading them didn't actually work, whether it was intentional or unintentional. What's up, Bebs? I can't hear that enough from Alex Ovechkin or the thank you, boys and girls and Bebs.
We're not going to be sunk this year.
Well, that too, but I felt like maybe it was a little bit too early for that kind of language. I cannot get enough of him screaming. I mean, that's my favorite part. All the other funny stuff he said since the Capitals won the Stanley Cup, but him hooting and screaming and yelling at the top of his lungs is my favorite.
It's basically nuts.
All right. What are we doing next? Oh, Astros are still winning. But we also got a rare win for the Mets with one of the most exciting plays in sports. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You are listening to the After Hours podcast.
We welcome listeners and callers of all ages. I think the youngest caller I've ever taken on a radio show is was an 8-year-old. So cute with the little voice. And teenagers for sure, college students, and elderly people like Rita and like some of our favorites around the country. So we're open for you, open for business. That's what I love about working the late nights and that turn into the early mornings is that you cast this wide net and we get such a variety of listeners and sports fans, all ages and colors and ethnicities and backgrounds and everything else. So yay. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. That's our phone number. You're weighing in now all kinds of fun answers for Twitter Tuesday, either A-Law Radio or our Facebook page, and I'll get to some of those coming up. Also, I want you to hear part of my conversation with longtime NHL defenseman Nick Boynton. He wrote the Players Tribune first-person account last week that was very open and honest and candid about his struggles since he retired from the league. He connects the repeated hits to the head. He says 20 or 30 concussions during his time as a hockey player. And he now is suffering from brain trauma, long-term side effects that he's going to have to deal with for the rest of his life. He is getting treatment, and so he says there are a lot of good days now. It had a great Father's Day. I talked to him Monday afternoon. He had a wonderful Father's Day with his four kiddos. But he's not so far removed from the really dark days that he forgets what they were like. And when he was contemplating the possibility of death, because he had a friend who committed suicide for this very reason, when he was considering death and an end like that, he decided he was going to speak up so that his death would not be in vain. I mean, that's talk about sobering and face-to-face with your own mortality. So ever since he wrote the Players Tribune column, which I talked about on the air last week, he's been doing interviews, not a ton of them, but there's been a lot of requests for him to appear on radio and TV, and he has agreed because he feels like he's found a purpose now in sharing his story and trying to get the word out and help as many people as possible. So it was a powerful conversation, no holds barred. He has nothing to lose now. And so every question I asked him, he answered, and I want you to hear part of that, just a chunk of it coming up after the break. At the bottom of the hour. So you'll hear that as well as some of our Twitter Tuesday responses that are especially creative. Also, I promised that you would get to hear the Astros with their win winning ways.
First pitch to Gurriel, and that is roped through the left side. That's a base hit. Altuve can walk home, and Gurriel with his second RBI single of the night, 4-3 Rays. Romo's 1-1. And Bregman hits it into left center field, and that's going to get down for a base hit. Gonzalez scores. Stassi scores. Astros win it in the bottom of the ninth. That's 12 in a row. 5-4 the final, and Alex Bregman the hero.
We're having a blast because we're competing every single pitch and having the time of our lives with our best friends in the world, so we're loving it.
I love that. Right after a baseball game where he slugs the game-winning walk-off double, and you hear that with Robert Ford on the Astros Radio Network, then Alex Bregman does an interview on AT&T Sportsnet in Houston where he talks about playing every day with your best friends in the world. It's right in touch with your sensitive side. Good for you, Alex. That's the kind of thing that I would say, so I appreciated it coming out of his mouth. And why not? Here's the other reason they're having a good time. It's because they're winning. That's their 12th consecutive victory, and they now have gotten the lead back in the AL West, and they're tied for the most wins in Major League Baseball with the Boston Red Sox. You've got four teams in the American League that are pacing the field, so to speak, and we're roughly a third of the way through the regular season. Red Sox and Astros have 49 wins each. The Yankees have 47, and the Mariners have 46. There are three teams in the NL that have at least 40 wins, but not as many as what we've got there in the American League. The Braves have 42, and so do the Brewers. That's the most on the senior circuit. So we've got some pretty impressive teams to watch as we head toward the dog days. Also, it's probably not going to be the Mets, let's just be honest. They are only seven games below 500, but Again, it's the Mets. However, they did have one of the most exciting plays in sports, one of my favorites to watch and to listen to on Monday.
0-2 the count. Now the pitch. Swinging a high fly ball. Well hit. Right center. On the run, Blackman, the center fielder. He won't get it. It is off the base of the wall in play. Nimmo's flying. He's going to hit third. The ball's still out in right field. Nimmo trying for it inside the Parker. The ball rolls to the plate, and Nimmo scores standing. An inside the park home run for Brandon Nimmo. Is there anything this kid can't do?
I thought, well, maybe it's a home run, but then I kind of saw just a white thing hit the fence, and I was like, oh, that's... And so from that point, I just put my head down and ran, and I didn't even know where it went. And all I saw was Sherlock just waving me around, and I heard the crowd getting loud. I was like, I don't know where this ball is, but I'm just going to keep running because I might get it inside the Parkers.
Run, Nimmo, run! That's awesome. Brandon Nimmo, 4-for-6 on Monday with a pair of home runs. He went inside the park and he went outside the park. And then also 4 RBI. And it was finally a big win for the New York Mets. Post-game reaction there on SNY and the call of the inside the park home run with Howie Rose on the Mets radio network. Just a couple of things happening in Major League Baseball. Tuesday night, 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific on CBS Sports Network. You get the stories of 3 female college athletes who faced adversity yet returned to their sport with resilience and extraordinary success. Don't miss Defying the Odds, the 2018 Honda Inspiration Award on the 24-hour home of CBS Sports. Again, that's CBS Sports Network. And coming up next, part of my conversation with longtime NHL defenseman Nick Boynton, who has very pointed words about what the NHL is not doing to take care of its athletes. Let's see. Oh, here's our latest. It's time for you, Andrew. Sorry, I'm not going to forget you, I promise.
Take your time.
Okay. Here's our... Oh, what? Wait a minute, I didn't say it yet. Stop that. That's wrong. No, it wasn't time for you yet.
Good morning, Ike. They're not exactly the Houston Astros, but the Arizona Diamondbacks.
I'm just going to keep my mic on because I wasn't done talking.
Surging.
You are listening to the After Hours Podcast. This is After Hours with Amy Lawrence.
We'll get to your Twitter Tuesday responses on Twitter and Facebook because that's how we roll. Coming up, our toll-free line is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico with some great news. There's a quick way you can save money. Switch to Geico. And if you need homeowners, renters, or motorcycle insurance too, you can get it all at geico.com. After Hours with Amy Lawrence here on this Tuesday morning. Thanks so much for tuning in. After longtime NHL defenseman Nick Boynton published an eye-opening account of his life post-hockey with all of its physical and mental challenges related to head injuries, he says, from the 20 or 30 concussions that he had when he was playing, we wanted to get him on the show. I wanted to get him on the show, and he agreed to talk on Monday afternoon, so I had a chance to spend 15 minutes with him. He was very candid. He was very honest. He was point blank about why he's speaking out and about the response that he's gotten from inside the NHL, which in many cases has been complete silence. Blows me away. I'm just going to replay a portion of the conversation for you, and I hope that you will go and listen to the rest. It's going to be on our podcast, afterhoursamylawrence.com. Also, we're going to put it up on our YouTube channel as soon as the show is over. And I'd encourage you to listen to it because not only does he offer suggestions to the NHL, but he also talks about kind of the silence and why he decided to speak out in this way, as he took a risk in doing so. And in some cases, in some ways, he's exactly a whistleblower. So we're going to pick up the conversation where he had just talked about how the NHL, in many cases, just completely denies that there's any connection between repeated hits to the head and some of the long-term side effects that he is suffering. He's not the only one. There are other players who are doing the same thing. And I asked him why. Why does the league deny it? Why does the league not acknowledge the connection?
I don't know. They're making money. off of guys, and they're making good money. I don't know why they deny it, especially at this point in time when the science is pretty obvious. I want to help the game at the end of the day. I want players to be safer. I want parents to be more educated in what goes on. I want players coming into the league to realize their union isn't helping them in this way, or it, you know, when it comes to mental illness or concussions. And the league, they're complicit in denying science. And, you know, nobody told me that going into the league. So if I can open up and tell these guys and these parents who are letting their kids play hockey and play through injuries, you know, what the outcome may be, then hopefully that makes a change.
Former NHL defenseman Nick Boynton is continuing to speak up about his post-hockey struggles that are related to the many hits to the head and head injuries he had when he played. It's After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio. Nick, at any point in the league, from when you started as a rookie until the time that you retired, did the teams that you played for or the league itself ever address head injuries or what a concussion looks like or what to do if, in fact, you were experiencing some of those symptoms?
Nope, not at all. I sat through so many drug awareness meetings at the start of every year, you know, meetings about people trying to take advantage of you, this and that, and, you know, good people, bad people, what to look out for, and not one informational session on brain injuries. I mean, it's, you know, looking back now, it's embarrassing, but you know what? I should have been smarter and I should have been stronger at the time to stand up and, you know, make my voice heard. I live with that fact that it took me this long to talk about it, but that's what, you know, what I've got to deal with. And hopefully somehow between me and Dan Carcillo and the other guys speaking up, some kind of change is made.
The more voices, certainly the better chance that you will be heard. Nick, in your column, you mentioned having some good days and getting some treatment that's helping you. What do those good days look like?
Since, you know, I got treatment, Dan Carcillo helped me get treatment at the Brain Plasticity Clinic down in Orlando. And my days have been a lot better since then. It's just a different treatment. It's a treatment that guys don't know is out there. It helped me with my vision and my focusing. And it was little things, but made such a big difference, and it gave me a bit of hope, and my days are good. And this sort of getting my story out there, it gives me, you know, some purpose to get better and find answers and help other people.
I'm so glad you're getting help now. When I was in Minneapolis at the Super Bowl, I had a chance to sit down with former NFL tight end JerMichael Finley, and he had a very similar story to yours because it was a really violent hit to the head that knocked him out of the league. And I asked him about the darkest days because he was also getting treatment. And I know it's a personal question, but Nick, what were those darkest days like for you?
It wasn't good. It was, I have a lot of anger from playing and people I dislike and people I'd love to get in a, you know, it's fine in a dark alley and take care of, but I can tell you, I wouldn't wish this my darkest days. I mean, today's a good day, but when I have dark days, I wouldn't wish that on my worst enemies. And that it's just something that is so overwhelming. Physical pain is nothing to me. You know, that is nothing. This is just takes it to such a different level. And to start thinking about, you know, the alternatives that I talk about in the piece, that's about as dark as you want to get and as painful as you want to get. And it's not fun, whether it's from a sports injury or whether that's what you're dealing with. I sympathize and, you know, just what's being done by the companies and the teams that I work for isn't good enough. They're not helping people. You want to help your employees. You want to help people get better. They're not helping us.
So just a portion of my conversation with Nick Boynton, who played for the Flyers and the Bruins, won a Stanley Cup, actually. And he says that he would trade that Stanley Cup. He wished he had retired earlier, and that's really the key, that the league is not offering the information that it has. It's denying that there's any connection between the repeated hits to the head and some of these long-term brain injuries and brain trauma that he's now dealing with on a regular basis. But it's so good to know that he's got more good days now than bad, and that he's getting treatment. And that was kind of the hope that we got from Jermichael Finley at the Super Bowl as well, is that once he finally got treatment and once he understood what was happening and he had neurologists working with him and helping to diagnose exactly where the damage to his brain had been done and addressing it, then it became easier to manage. And he felt like he wasn't alone and he had people on his side who were fighting with him and for him. So I'm glad to hear that from Nick. But again, I'd really encourage you to listen to the rest of the conversation. You know, ask him about concussion protocols, and I ask him about what he's heard from the league and why, what was the catalyst? What was the reason that he finally spoke up, or the point at which he decided enough was enough? And also, at the very end, I asked him about his son, because he said his son loves hockey. And while he doesn't really know what his dad did for a living and certainly doesn't know the connection with what his dad is going through now, his boy wants to play. And so there is this, you know, there's this struggle for Nick, because he's not sure he wants his kid anywhere near hockey, especially not as a career. So we did talk about his boy and talk about his family a little bit. So check that out on our podcast, or also on our YouTube channel once the show is over. It's After Hours here on CBS Sports Radio, 855-212-4227. Thank you for the reaction, the response on both social media as well as the calls we took earlier in the show. It means a lot to me that your responses are thoughtful and that you're thinking about processing what Nick said, because that's really important. To dismiss it, well, that's what the leagues have done for far too long. So it's not something that should be swept under the rug anymore. And honestly, even though people tell me if this gets out and more people start talking about it, fans are going to walk away from the sport, I don't think that's the case. Now, I can only speak for me. It's not like we're just finding out that hockey is a violent sport. It's not like we're just finding out that there are health risks if you play football. No, I mean, we've known that. And as much as the leagues may think it's a better option to deny that these can lead to a horrible quality of life when you're older, to me, it's better. I think it's better if you open up and give all the information that you've got and allow these athletes to make informed decisions. Many of them would still choose to play. Right? Many of them would still choose to take the risk. These guys are risk takers inherently, and they bet on themselves, and they keep coming back from serious injuries in many cases. We see that with pro athletes. I won't stop watching the sport, either football or hockey or any sport, soccer either, because I know it's a choice. It's a choice of these athletes to play. I just want them to be more informed and to be taken care of. When they put their bodies on the line, they should be properly taken care of. And too often, and the NFL is the one we've talked about the most, but too often, once they retired, the players are not taken care of. And they become, as one listener said earlier on Twitter, dispensable. They shouldn't be discarded like they didn't matter. So I'm not going to stop watching hockey. In fact, I really enjoy the sport, not just during Stanley Cup playoffs, but also to go to a game in person. It's so much different than watching it on TV, and a lot of you are pointing that out on social media as we do our Twitter Tuesday question. So we'll end kind of on that note. What is your favorite sport to watch in person? That's our Twitter Tuesday. So
UFC.
That's the voice god's favorite sport to watch in person. Isaac happens to be the manager of the voice god, and anything that he says on the show has to go through Isaac. So it's funny that the two of them would agree on that.
Thanks, voice guy.
Doesn't he also have an NFL? Dun, 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 dun. No?
Nope. He's in the offseason.
Yeah, actually, I prefer NFL on TV. I don't mind going to games now and then, but it's not my favorite to watch in person. Jason says on Twitter, good question. Thank you. I say football or NASCAR, the energy from the crowd, the sounds, the passion. It's awesome. Yes, Jason, NASCAR in person. I've taken many friends or family members who'd never been to a race before, and they're hooked once they go. Again, very different on TV. You don't get the full experience, but in person, you get swept away and you feel the need for speed. Jeff on Twitter, college football is by far the best, but also love going to a baseball game. Jay on Twitter, I loved Candlestick, although I'm not sure if it was the stadium or being able to see Brett Favre as a New York Jet and the 49ers winning. Wait a minute. Brett Favre wasn't a New York Jet when Candlestick was still, what? Maybe it was at the end. When did Levi Stadium get built and they move into Levi Stadium? You're going to have to research that for me, Chris, because I can't research it while I'm also speaking.
July 17th, 2014.
All right. And, oh, so that would have been when Brett Favre was still in the NFL. Got it. Okay. Good, Jay. I like it. Let's see. JP says it has to be hockey in person. It's fast. It's physical. It's exciting. David always will be watching the New York Rangers live is my favorite, thanks to my dad. Yeah, it's an experience. I had been to Madison Square Garden to watch, you know, the Knicks or college basketball. I even called a college basketball game courtside at MSG. But I didn't really understand the full experience until I went to a Rangers game. It's totally different. It's amazing. Here's another tweet that I didn't expect. I love to watch Division I volleyball in person. He says women's volleyball has more defense, so it's exciting to watch, but men's is also fun in person. I used to play. I don't know that I'd put that on top of my list. Beach volleyball, maybe. Let's see. Danny sends me a picture of AT&T Stadium. It's a spectacle to behold with 70,000 other people. That's kind of cool. Awesome photo with the American flag displayed out on the field. And also Joseph says two NHL outdoor games that were awesome. We're back tonight for Hump Show After Hours with Amy Lawrence on CBS Sports Radio.
Oh, such a clutch pickup, Dave.
I know, right? I was worried we'd bring back the same team.
Oh, no, I meant those blackout motorized shades. MVP of the room.
Blinds.com made it crazy affordable to replace our old blinds.
Hard to install?
No, it's easy. Even you could do it.
Nice.
I installed these and then got some for my mom, too.
What, you fly across the country to do the install?
Nope. Blinds.com can do it all. All she had to do was pick what she wanted. She talked to a design consultant for free and scheduled a professional measure and install.
Look at you, a Hall of Fame son.
Oh, I just picked the winning team. They're the number one online retailer of custom window coverings in the world.
Oh, Blinds.com is the GOAT.
The GOAT.
He shoots. He scores.
Go to Blinds.com for up to 40% off and a 100% satisfaction guarantee. Go right now for up to 40% off at Blinds.com. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.